Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review this Rampage baby, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick, look ahead to Rampage tonight and the go-home show ahead of Full Gear this weekend. You did an extended preview with Hamflet yesterday, of course. All about Full Gear. I haven't had a chance to really get your thoughts ahead of this weekend's pay-per-view. How are you feeling?
Well, let me know how I'm feeling about Rampage as well, broadly, after that. But Full Gear, you know, it's one of those things where it all hinges on the main event for me.
Yeah.
And every time I see the firm on screen in these really small buildings that AEW are running in front of, these small houses in big buildings, shall I say, these small houses with these quiet fans, and I see the firm in the main event, I just think, this ain't AEW. Like, this is not main event here. This is not white hot. I don't know what these geeks are doing here. Are they the aces and eights? It's...
I took my licks.
Yeah. But then you consider every single question they've asked you, and I might have arrived at what I think's going to happen in the main event.
Ooh.
And maybe even the name. It's a weird thing, because you've got a wrestler who, out of literally every wrestler on the planet, does not eat a mouthpiece. What if he gets two, and it's Bivens and Regal, and it's the unholy trinity?
Ooh.
Because you've been asked, basically, is he going to be a babyface and just win it clean? Is he going to turn heel again and align with a firm, a la aces and eights? Or are they the ultimate red herring, and it's going to be... William Regal he sides with. Maybe it's both Bivens and Regal, and they could call it the unholy trinity.
I like that. And the devil has the devil on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they come to the ring and they sit on his shoulders as he cuts a promo every week. Just how bloody strong he is as well.
So I do like the mystery. And it's not like quite TakeOver, where they just say some generic copy to each other about intensity and moments and all this rubbish that they used to pass for storylines in the NXT era after 2015, okay? And you think, oh, well, I'll never watch this week to week because it's really dry and formulaic and bland, but the match will be awesome. I'm not quite going into it with that headspace. I feel like everything they're doing is wildly uneven on TV, but it will all converge to create drama out the ass on the night itself. The Elite are coming back. I'm thrilled. I'm a little worried that they're going to do the usual, like, really good and sports-oriented. We might lose this one because we're not ready yet. Just be stars. It's just be stars on this occasion, boys. And various other things have been built well, but I just don't have the same feeling I used to do about this promotion. So,
do you know what I'm thinking about this? And I
don't know if I've just been spoiled or if Tony Khan has somehow stumbled into every bad booking trap all at once this year, which he kind of has. A combination of the two, I'm not really feeling it, and I've spent the last 4 or 5 months of my professional career really trying to articulate why that is.
You know me, Sidge. I'm an optimist.
You are.
I literally just spent the SmackDown preview attempting to convince you that actually Mustafa Ali booking's good on Monday Night Raw. Go and check that out. SmackDown preview, wherever you get your podcast from. I think, and I came up with this phrase, and it's a unique phrase that I invented. Never been said before. The night is darkest just before the dawn. Right.
That's
You remember we were talking about this in the office the other day. A British pop star called Alexandra Burke, who won our X Factor, which is like Pop Idol. They did it a bit in America, but everyone was like, yeah, we've got Pop Idol, we're all good, thing, or American Idol, or whatever it is. She came back to England, having done some time in America and done nothing, and said, I've picked up this phrase over there, the elephant in the room, and I thought I could bring that to British audiences. everyone went, yeah, we've heard that phrase, but what? She literally wrote a song about it, and it's like, this isn't like, whoa, wait, what?
Oh, my God.
So,
what a great metaphor that is for a really glaring problem that no one can avoid.
So, no, what I'm saying here is, you know, I agree that the looking at Dynamite recently, it's not been good, Al, in terms of the audience, the shots of bits topped off. And, like, I saw the figures yesterday, but there's factors that go with that, with the, I think it was NBA games or whatever it may be. Regardless, disregard all that. Like you say, I hope, and I think there's a good chance of this happening, that Full Gear will be the line that we draw under this pretty crappy period for AEW.
That's also had some really good TV
It's one of those ones where it's like, it's been rubbish, but there'll still be some absolutely unforgettable moments in 2022 in AEW. So I'm hoping that Full Gear finishes and you go, right, okay, so let's just look across, survey the scene now. You could have, I'm not suggesting this is what's going to happen. Jamie Hayter as world champion. You could have Soraya, everything. Tag team champions, now heel Keith Lee, fully heel, and Swerve, breaking everyone's dreams, destroying the acclaimed. Trios champions, the Elite, world champion MJF. It's not that bad of a place to be,
no,
is it?
No, not at all. Look, I think Full Gear will be great on the night, but I miss weekly, incredibly compelling, vibrant, loud, full, creative as all hell, white-hot episodic TV. And I'm not getting that. I'm not getting that.
And I should say, I'm fine. I also realised that she wouldn't be world champion, would she? She'd be interim world champion. But I'm also okay with Toni Storm, because I think she's been doing some great stuff as well recently. Jamie Hayter makes things interesting with Britt Baker, of like the difference between the two nights of like, you lost to someone who hasn't been in a ring for about, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
And Jamie Hayter's now effectively world champion elect. Could be tasty. Before we get to well, it is sort of Rampage, I suppose, because there's the matches on here, but bigger picture stuff. Could Ricky Starks go all the way?
Should.
Because you got this Eliminator tournament and you got it a little bit wrong, I think it's fair to say, last week. I'm just checking to see if Hamlet's not going to burst in to lambast us. Rampage review.
You have a job.
Yeah. We thought it was going to be last week. Then it was going to be Dynamite. Now it's tonight. Big picture stuff again here. It's Ricky Starks versus Lance Archer tonight. The winner of that faces Brian Page on 0 Hour. Brian Page? Brian Cage on 0 Hour. And then the final will take place on Dynamite, which I said to Andy this morning, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because it doesn't spoil who the world champion is going to be.
It's a fantastic thing. I think you can go all the way. Look, winter is coming, emanates from Texas. And if you look at the various clues spotted, if you want this MJF heel turn to work, and all indications from MJF is that he's desperate to stay a heel in the face of crowds not wanting to be a heel. He keeps saying over and over again, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people he didn't exist. And he's trying to convince people that the heel doesn't exist. But he does, and it's going to be revealed at the end of Full Gear. Because these fans are trying to no-sell all of this, and they just want to cheer MJF. You know, the clear comparison is that he's The Rock in 1998. they are going to have to, and it's just as well they can really book baby faces. They are going to have to line up some really, really strong baby faces if this is to be tenable. This MGF is a heel actually run. It's going to be bloody hard because those ingrates in Bridgeport, Connecticut booed John Moxley. Wasn't his best night, but look at the air he's had. Look at how much he's given you, right? And he's going to put MGF
on his holidays.
Yeah. He should be on his holidays, and he's going to do the thing that you want him to do and put MGF over. Just don't be an arsehole with John Moxley. It's Moxley. They're going to have a bloody job if, in fact, it is going to go this way. And I think it's going to go this way. Ricky Starks in Texas is the almost perfect TV-level challenger.
Mm-hmm.
And getting him over by fighting two monsters and a guy who's not as much of a monster, but bloody tall and powerful, is babyface stuff out the ass. So it's just this weird thing where sometimes I rave about this product and how carefully they consider things and the detail that goes into it without ultimately really feeling it. I don't know when this dissonance is going to end. As you say, hopefully it's after Dynamite, because it's weird, like after Full Gear, it's constantly in two minds. Because I'm thinking, Full Gear. What I said, Hamlet yesterday, when we did the full preview, which you can, of course, listen to now on Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get them, for the full hour-long feature Full Gear preview, is that I'm not as excited as I was for Full Gear 2021, put it that way.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm quite looking forward to Rampage tonight. And Wilborn,
I wonder what you're up to there.
What am I doing now? I am setting my alarm.
That's what he's doing.
I don't know why you're laughing. I am setting my alarm for...
people ask why this podcast isn't videoed sometimes.
Why? I don't know why you're laughing. I'm setting my alarm for...
Oh!
6 a.m.
Yeah, nice and early tomorrow to... Yeah, we've not got a chance to review this. We'll be reviewing Full Gear on Monday, by the way, everyone.
A.M. Because it's Yu Nakayama, baby.
Well, we'll save that. I'm going to make you wait, baby.
God.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before, let's talk about the world title match that's happening tonight. The FTW Championship is on the line. Hook, remember him, is defending against Lee Moriarty. I love Lee Moriarty, man.
Yeah, me too. Is it bad that I'm... And it's a bit of an indictment of the way they've handled Hook, considering how big and awesome he was late last year upon his debut. Is it bad that I'm looking forward to this match as much as I am as a result of the match itself, and also because it indicates, without confirming... that Hook isn't going to be on the Full Gear Zero Hour, which means that there's going to be a lot less on it than normal, and it's going to be just a nice, more compact, less arduous experience of watching this thing that you pay $50 to do. You know what I mean? Like
11 matches of Full Gear now, one on Zero Hour, as far as I'm aware.
I expect, Wilborn, that there's going to be 12 by the end of the day. Did you watch Rampage last week? Yes. Orange Cassidy defeated Factory member.
There was a little bit,
Lee
Johnson, yeah, there was, yeah.
And I think that we're going to get Orange Cassidy, who it would be weird if he's not on Full Gear in any capacity. And as a result of that being weird, all right, that's why he's not been announced yet, because he's going to work QT Marshall.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun 8 minutes, but a fun 8 minutes is not necessary for these marathon shows. It just isn't. Do it on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Do it on friggin' Dynamite, for God's sake. At Full Gear last year, they had one buy-in match. Just one. And it was a nice party match. I know it was before All Out. There was one. I don't know where this four match. They perfected their pay-per-view formula last year. All Out in Full Gear.
Yeah.
Right? And I know one of them had simply one buy-in party match. And it was a 10-man tag. And it was really fun. And no, and everyone's just like, up. And they were up for all of it. One of the loudest main events in AEW pay-per-view history. One of the best events they've ever done. Just don't take the piss. It's mental. No one wants this except the ultra-deranged who, are going to buy whatever.
Yeah.
Right? It's time they really, really listen to this thing about the pay-per-views. Keep it as compact as possible. Don't put Orange Cassidy on it just for the sake of getting another star on there.
Yeah, I think you're right. And
but this match should be really good.
Yeah, I'm glad this is here, though, like you say, rather than 0 Hour or the paper itself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what they could do, you know, Hook versus Austin Gunn at the pay for 0 Hour after he falls afoul of the Gunn Club after the conclusion of this match of Moriarty on Rampage tonight, because we need four matches on them. 0 Hour, we don't. But I'm really looking forward to this, as much in itself, because it's a test for Hook. He's been fighting geeks, and he's been killing geeks, and he's been just throwing geeks and getting behind the backs of geeks with a lightning quick penetration step for so long that, bit bored now. This is an actual test, this is an actual match, this is a real good indication of his progress and maybe what he does subsequent to this. I'm really looking forward to it. Hook wins.
Yeah, this is the thing, I think Hook wins. There's also a tiny bit of my head where I'm like, if I didn't, like you say, he's been doing a lot of stuff for a year or so now, hasn't he? And I'm not saying that you have to take the FTW Championship is not, you know, it's not in the same columns as the TNT or whatever it may be. But I feel like the combination of that and it's Lee Moriarty and the bigger picture of the firm, there might be a bit where he gets a near, not even a near fall, a one count on Hook. And I go, oh, I wonder if they're going to, you know,
yeah.
The firm's got some gold now. Like, it's the easiest thing to defend in the world because you've got all the people to just bump off of. Maybe they hot potato it between Hook and Moriarty for a while. I don't know. I think Hook wins.
Yeah.
But there is this sliver of doubt that will get me nibbling on a near fall. And I think that's always all I ask for, really, in these sorts of matches.
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about the match you were desperate to get in here and talk about. Athena versus Madison Rayne.
And why? Why do these podcast previews, like, encourage me to be cruel? I don't want to be... I'll love being cruel when I'm punching up,
yeah.
Right? It's how I process things that are just bad and deserve to be, like, conveyed as bad, okay? I'll punch up a Triple H, I'll punch up a Vince McMahon, I'll punch up a Shane McMahon, I'll punch up a Kane, I'll punch up a Road Dogg. I'll punch down at how absolutely bad Madison Rayne's in-ring Uwe has been since she signed with AEW. I know who's going to win. I know no one's going to give a toss about the match. And I know from the precedent of her previous matches in this promotion that it's going to be bad or not good. I was talking to Murray about this when we were discussing what was going to be on Rampage this week. And I just said to him, Madison Rayne doesn't get over. She doesn't give you a good match. She might be a really good coach.
Yes.
Hence why she's being hired as a coach is her primary job. I hope that's the case. She's not good in the ring. She doesn't get over. And the matches are a obligatory, cold addition to any TV show she's on. And I find it inexplicable that they keep doing this. And I was saying to Murray, if they want an ever-present who has got this cachet of veteran experience, where theoretically only in the case of Madison Rayne counts or means something when you beat her, they clearly don't see Serena Deeb as a face of the company type. She's already had her pay-per-view title match, which is awesome, by the way, and it didn't go her way, which is an indication of, oh, they don't see her for that slot anymore. She can be the person who loses all these matches because they'll be good matches. And if you beat Serena Deeb because she's such a doyen, I'll believe that the person has actually achieved something of note that I have actually invested in and enjoyed. I don't know why Deeb isn't in the reign position. I've got no earthly idea. I understand sometimes, right, why you won't book a Miro. Why you won't book a certain like wrestler because he doesn't want to beat them yet, but they're not ready for his big main picture pay-per-view plans. I've got no earthly idea why Deeb can't do the reign role. I absolutely don't. It's just basics for me, that.
Yeah.
Booking basics.
Yeah, it's such an obvious, more so than the FTW Championship match. Athena wins. They go about 8 minutes. It's cut to balls because of
the
commercial break in the middle.
Commercial.
So it'll start, they'll spill to the floor, go to break, come back. 1, 2, 3, Athena.
I tell you what, if nothing else, I like this because they are clearly prepping Athena for the winner of Storm versus Hater. And I still think it's going to be Storm. And Storm and Athena have some real good glimpses of in-ring chemistry. Their stuff in the four-way at Grand Slam was like really hot, really well worked. Give me that for Winter is Coming. So maybe Athena winning here on telly will put that idea in mind of, oh yeah, she beat Madison Rayne. I completely forgot about that match because it was forgettable. So that's why she's got
this promo afterwards then. Don't they give her just there you go, it's a win that no one will remember next week. I've got an impassioned promo. It's taped, isn't it?
Just
it's
taped. Yeah.
So
no, it's not taped.
Oh, it's not taped. It's live.
Live. Just cut a promo and say, as you can tell by my recent in-ring conduct, that's a bit controversial. I'm very impatient about not being in this title picture, and I'm taking it out on people who are clearly several steps below where I'm at right now. I want a real challenge. I want that AEW women's title, and then she can be built up as a credible challenger, even more so ahead of Winter is Coming.
Love that. Yeah, it makes use of this match that otherwise, because the women's division has been vastly improving in AEW. You know, you've got three genuinely interesting female storylines going into full gear. I like the Nyla Rose stuff.
I like Nyla Rose and I like Jade Cargill. I don't like Nyla Rose versus Jade Cargill.
But I think this is the thing. The story is one thing, and like I say, I'm biased because I like both characters in this. The whole, yeah, all right, that's fine. Then the bell rings. Well, that's the bit I'm looking forward to. Nyla Rose, I feel awful for her. She always loses the big one. But my God, does she look good doing it a lot of the time? And yeah, just going to make remind everyone, Jade Cargill, bloody hell, this is the toughest, biggest opponent she's probably faced in this run with this undefeated streak. Yeah. But like you say, it's an interesting choice from Tony Khan, as always, regarding the women's division. Right, let's get to it then. A match I know you've been giddy with excitement to talk about for days now. I'm happy because Takeshita's back in the ring and I've fallen in love with him this year. You're happy because Jun Akiyama's having a match in AEW. And also on the other side, pretty good as well. Kingston and his little mate. Kingston and Ortiz.
Oh, brother. This match is going to rule. The only potential problem with it is that I hate talking about it in these sort of like before and after terms, like a seismic event has happened, whether that's Brawl Out or the broad decline of the company itself. Old AEW crowds really probably, more likely than not, would have gone crazy for Jun Akiyama, and it's weird because there was more of them then.
Yeah.
And now that it feels like, because there's a smaller concentrated amount, you think, oh, at least the hardcore are still there making noise. They're not making noise and they don't know who Shibata is. So what's going on?
At least I said so much more the other week. Yeah, you're right.
Are you telling me that a lot of people know who these guys are and the casuals are the ones who are into it and now the remaining hardcores just like AEW guys? That would fly in the face of what people say on Twitter. I used to say if it's still there. So I'm a little bit apprehensive about the reaction Akiyama gets because they'll struggle to put this over as the big, really cool moment that it is if they don't go up for it. But you know what the happy byproduct of Jun Akiyama appearing in AEW is? He's awesome and he'll get them into the match because he's great. And Eddie Kingston's super over. And Takeshita, even in 2022, really got over as a cult hero. So this match should stand every chance of being great.
I feel bad for Ortiz. I was only joking with the little comment. It just feels like Kingston's like, yeah, I want to do this. And Ortiz's like, yeah, bollocks. I'm not busy.
I'm not doing anything.
And I'm great at wrestling.
Can I come too?
Yeah, can I get involved in this?
Can I come too? This match, I feel, will be so well plotted around the spot that people are expecting to see, and that is Yu Nakayama doing an exploder suplex onto or off the apron and onto the floor below. And they will build the tension, build the struggle, and that will inform an eruption of a pop. And I think there's a little bit of foreshadowing here because Kingston was talking about a match with Hiroshi Hase that Yu Nakayama had. And yeah, I just feel like they're going to mirror some spots in there. But the big one is Yu Nakayama's exploder suplex onto or off the apron. Did it to tremendous effect in an absolute classic war against Kobashi in the Dome. And I hope that they'll build this match around it. He's 53 years old. Maybe not that great an idea, but they really want to fight each other. I feel like this is Kingston's big full gear weekend moment. And they still really want to do something with him. So I feel like we're going to get it. I feel like they're going to make you think you're not going to get it. I feel like they're going to make you want to see it. And it's going to be awesome when it does happen. And as you say, in and around that, you got Takeshita just blowing Ortiz to bits with his explosive offense. This could be special. This could be special.
I'm hoping this is another springboard for Takeshita as well. Not to disregard Junakiyama and all this, but yeah, Takeshita's someone who I was shamelessly unaware of, to be honest, until he arrived in AEW. And now I think he's one of my favorite new wrestlers of 2022. Alongside Logan Paul. I didn't expect that at the start of this year. I've got mixed emotions about Eddie Kingston because I'm pissed off that we were just like, oh, cool. Well, you got the title goes da-da-da-da-da. And maybe, fingers crossed, there's at least the chance of him becoming world champion for a week or at least fighting for the world title. And that's not come to pass. And that's annoying me.
It feels a bit further away
than
it ever was.
That ship sailed, yeah, now. But I like the fact of, like, offer, you know, the trade offer guy.
I love the trade offer guy so much.
Yeah, all right, we won't do that, but you can just, every pay-per-view cycle, we'll just chuck you in with a Japanese legend that you adore and would always love to have a match with. So, I don't know. I don't know whether that's the trade that Eddie would have accepted at the start of this year, but who do you think wins?
Tony Khan has got the nicest way of de-emphasizing a wrestler from his company ever. FTR and Eddie Kingston must be having a great time and everyone else is moaning on their behalf. It's like, oh, they're loving this. They are loving their lives right now. Tony Khan's just a benevolent guy. Weird for a billionaire, Hamflip. Oh, sorry, he's not here. You can ask us something, one more thing?
Yeah, who's going to win?
Oh, it depends if they are going to do the singles on 0 Hour. That means we're going to get a singles match between them. Maybe it's just this, so maybe you should just like accept that it's a great little thing. Kingston and Ortiz.
Yeah. I think you're right there. This is main event. I'm trying to work out how they lay out this show. I feel like I don't know whether you open with a title match or open with Ricky or I don't know. I don't know how this show is going to be laid out, but I like the idea this is a main event. I
think they close with Ricky.
Yeah, might be. Yeah, I suppose because make sure you catch that on 0 Hour. Yeah, big Excalibur, one big breath, all that stuff. Well, anyway, looking forward to Rampage tonight, and of course Full Gear this weekend. If you missed it earlier when I mentioned it, myself, Sige, and hopefully Hamlet will be reviewing Full Gear on Monday and giving all of our thoughts of it. Then just annoying scheduling conflicts means that we are unavailable this weekend. Stop buying pay-per-views on a Saturday. Everyone, it really annoys me. I like Sunday.
You used to love a Saturday, didn't you?
I liked a Saturday, but just purely for, especially this time of year, just Sunday, I do all the bollocks I have to do at the weekend, come in Sunday, boom, pape, and then...
It's essentially on Monday.
Yeah. It just is frustrating. I don't know. It's one of those, if you're not watching it live, it's probably better for it to be a Saturday because you can just catch up at your leisure on Sunday. But I like watching it live and doing the live streams. But anyway, regardless, we'll be reviewing it all on Monday. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know your predictions. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you check out Hamflet and Sige giving a full-throated, full-gear preview. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. Also on there right now, the SmackDown preview. And we'll be back later, me, Sige, and Phil, to probably chat a little bit more about Full Gear and have a hashtag bloody good quiz on wrestle culture. But now, let us know your thoughts on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow Michael Sidgwick on there, at...
Sidgwick.
Well, for the time being, I suppose. You can follow me, at Adam Wilborn. As I said, follow us all, at WhatCultureWWE. This has been the Rampage Preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.